Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. This is Christy Hayes, host of Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and today we have the very special Ruth Cho Simmons. She is a Wall Street Journal bestselling and award-winning author of several books. One of those I have on my coffee table. She is an artist. We talk about her book, her new book, Pilgrim, which is this beautiful book where she talks about 25 ways God's character leads us onward. But I'm going to tell you right now that this podcast is chocked full of just nuggets of parenting and advice for mothers. I could listen to this three times and not get all the goodness of it. So I encourage you to listen to this, share it. It was a beautiful interview, and I am so proud to give it to you today. Please welcome Ruth. Hey, Ruth, thanks so much for being on the Be Love, Do Good podcast. I love your work. I actually have your work right now on my coffee table, and it's opened up to a beautiful picture that says Amazing Grace, and This Is Why We Forgive. It's from your Grace Lace book. And I was kind of joking with you earlier that our podcast was at 11:45, but I was looking at all your Instagram and about your new book, and you have like beautiful music with it and art, and I love beautiful things. And I was so like in it that I looked up and it was 11:47. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be talking to her. So
I love it.
I can't wait for people to just know you and just get to spend time and listening to you today. So thanks for being here. Thanks for your time.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. What an honor.
So tell me just a little bit for those who might not know you. Tell us about you, your family. What does life look like for you right now?
Well, I'm an artist and author and founder of a company called gracelaced.com. And we're celebrating 10 years of putting together beautiful art with the truths of God's word in lifestyle products. And never thought I would be able to do that, but so grateful to be able to create beautiful resources and just reminders in prints and journal forms to help women keep their eyes on Jesus. And I'm grateful to be able to do that because I live with all guys, Chrissy. I am a mama to six boys. My oldest is 21 and my youngest is 10. We've got one who's graduated college, going off to grad school, and one who thinks he is practically in college himself. So all boys, we eat a lot of calories in this house. There's a lot of pasta, a lot of meat. They don't know what vegetables are sometimes. You know, it's all that. And my husband, Troy, and I have been married. We're going to celebrate 25 years this summer.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. And they're hard-won years. You know, I mean, there's nothing easy or simple about that. But I feel like a little bit of your story that we were talking about early on, I feel the same way that we've had multiple different careers, multiple seasons in a previous season. Troy was a headmaster of a classical Christian school we founded together with others. He was also a pastor for many years. And so, but currently in the season, we are full-time together with Grace Laced and for the public ministry that I get to do online and speaking to women around the country. And we live in Western Colorado with hopefully, you know, a little longer with all six of our kids, but actually this fall, it'll just be four at home. So we're in the mountains. My life is not filled with butterflies and flowers that you see in my books. It's usually dirt bikes and motor oil. So that's a little bit about me.
I love it. I cannot even imagine your grocery bill. Like I'm thinking to myself, like we have two kids, one who's starting like a 15-year-old boy, but he's still like little. I don't know that he's truly hit like full puberty yet.
Oh man.
So I can't even imagine. Like, how do you even do the dinner situation? Do they just like, yeah, what does that look like
in your home? So the most amazing thing that I kind of learned along the way is that if you just start them off young, eventually you don't have anything to do because they take over on everything. So definitely it was not efficient when they were little, but teaching them how to do the dishes and empty the dishwasher, and they're all good cooks. And so, I mean, Christy, I'm not exaggerating when I say every morning I get an espresso drink brought to me. I know this sounds crazy, but I get this perfect drink done exactly the way I want it, with just the tiny bit, half pump of, you know, caramel and a tiny smidge of cream. And they make a lot of the meals. I would say they make probably 80-90% of the meals. And so we do some meal planning together, but I have a son who even bought his own Instapot and slow cooker. Like we're talking like he's legit, like he meal plans, and we eat a lot of, Mexican bowls or, Asian fish bowls. You know, we're doing a lot of like Chipotle style bowls, or there's just a lot of calories going through this house. So yeah, that grocery bill's a little steep, and I don't know that I realized how much I needed to budget for that.
I love it. Okay, so moms out there that are listening, and I agree with you, as hard as it is to start those little ones out learning how to do the things, in the end, like I would say now that my kids are 14 and 11, that they can do the things. They can do the laundry. Yeah. They can do the stuff. They can cook. So for those who are maybe younger moms listening and going, oh my gosh, I can't even see the day that I would get to sit and actually drink a coffee by myself or in peace. What is some encouragement or what are some tips that you started them at a young age? Like when did you start kind of introducing them into the world of responsibility and doing some things on their own?
For sure. Once the olders got a little bit older, there was a culture of that, right? Mm-hmm. So then you don't have to explain it so much. But early on, I would say about 6 or 7 was about the time when we would say, okay, Troy and I would say, well, we're going to welcome inefficiency. It's just going to be inefficient. Yeah, we could do it so much faster. And I think when you remember that the goal is training, the goal is not that you're just trying to get by and get it done, because all of us can do it better and faster. So you welcome inefficiency and then you encourage and you don't expect perfection. So like those, that's like the paradigm. Those are the three things, you know, welcome inefficiency, encourage, and don't expect perfection. And so then you find a way to teach them how to hold the knife right and cut up some vegetables, even if it takes an hour for them to cut it up, but they get encouraged and they're excited that they participated. And we teach them how to fry an egg by maybe like 8 or 9, you know, working at the stove and being very careful and thoughtful about how to do that. And then, you know, they're not going to do their laundry just right at first, and they're not going to put it all away, right? But giving them the opportunity, encouraging them to join you on how you do it, but then giving them opportunities to do it themselves. I cannot tell you how much I'm just grateful that we kind of established that. And with some of our kids, it didn't happen super easily or naturally, and we had to keep on working at it. And so it's okay if it takes some time. But those life skills, and even, you know, the ultimate goal is not that I just don't want to have a job, but the ultimate goal is for them to be really good, self-sufficient human beings, you know, to be able to manage themselves.
Right. When they leave our house, that they actually change their sheets in college. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she's like, I don't know that my husband changed his sheets the entire time he was in college. I was like, that is disgusting. Yeah. So I came home to my son, and he's a little germy, so I don't know that he would do that. But I thought, oh my gosh, please tell me that you're going to change those disgusting sheets. Well, because
if you don't have this like rhythm, if you didn't realize, you know, that that was a problem, or that if nobody really trained you to get in that rhythm, you wouldn't know to do that. You wouldn't think about it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for that tip. I think that just will encourage some other parents. And we've been talking about that for a long time. Just we have a lot of young families that live in our neighborhood, and they're like, oh, one day we'll be, you know, at the age where the kids can do stuff. I said, I promise you will be. Just start it early. Get, you know, it's going to be frustrating, but it will be it will be worth it for sure, for sure. I want to talk a little bit about, you've written several books, but the new one that you have coming out is called Pilgrim. And I'd love to talk about that. It's 25 ways God's character leads us onward. And I was looking at the different 25 characteristics, and I kind of want to go through some of those. But can you tell us a little bit about, you know, I always feel like when authors write something, there's a reason they write it. Usually there's a story, you know, behind the story of something that's going on in maybe your own life that has inspired you, or maybe someone else's life that you felt like you needed to write it for. So tell me a little bit about the story behind your new book.
Yeah. Well, the simplest way I could share this is to say life is hard. And sometimes our journeys just don't go the direction that we expect them to go. I think that's for all of us. We all have a version of that where we're like, hey, I thought I was going to end up here, and I actually ended up here. Some of it's been wonderful, and some of it's been really hard. And we all understand that that journey is one where we're left constantly thinking that we got to figure it out, constantly thinking, oh, I got to have some more skills. I got to be stronger. I got to be tougher. Or maybe it's like my days are passing me by and I got to use my giftings to be amazing, because what if my life doesn't count? What if I'm nobody and I don't know who I am anymore? We have all these versions, especially as moms. I think we can struggle with like, what is my journey about? Is it just to raise these kids? And once they get older and they move out of the house, do we feel like we don't know who we are anymore? Like there's all these questions. And I think for me, I'm turning 48 in a few months here. When this goes live, I'll be nearing my birthday. And I just think that if with every season, every decade, I've had that question of like, Lord, where are you in this journey? Like, what am I supposed to be figuring out here? And the resounding answer I've been able to understand from him over and over again is this life, this actual day in, day out, it may feel like I'm building a whole life and a whole kingdom right here, but the journey is actually about him and not about me. Journey is actually about God showing us who he is and how faithful he is and the plans he has for us and how good he is to kind of lead and direct. It's not really all about us being amazing and trying to figure it out. And so I obviously have multiple seasons that I've had to learn this myself, but I've noticed throughout my adult life over and over again, whether it's raising young ones or dealing with teenagers or now in a launching season where one of mine is moving away and going to grad school, I'm recognizing over and over again that if I don't trust God's character and what he says is true about himself, then it doesn't really matter that my strength is found in him. It doesn't really matter that I can follow him. Why would I follow someone that I don't trust? So it really has to start with believing that he is the one who actually is trustworthy on our pilgrim journeys. And if, well, I'll just throw in there real quick that if this word pilgrim is new to any of us, it's really just, it was a nod to saying, hey, as pilgrims, we recognize that this is not our home right now. This time on earth, that we're working real hard to pay mortgages, to get our kids to soccer practice, to make sure that this one gets a, you know, scholarship in college, whatever it is that we're feeling so busy doing, that it's not actually all about this, that there is a destination we're headed to, and that is to be with Christ forever, face to face. And sometimes we don't remember that that's the destination, the ultimate end goal of our pilgrim journeys. So this is a devotional that walks us through 25 ways that we can remember it's about him, and he's actually the one who's getting us to our destination.
Tell me about a time or the times where you lose perspective of that. Because I know that when I am reminded of that, I'm like, oh, okay, so these little things or these approval of man or maybe the crazy things my kids are doing right now that I know that they'll get through, that doesn't matter. Like that just shouldn't be stressing me or giving me anxiety right now when I see the eternal perspective. So how do we keep our eyes fixed on that eternal perspective when really we're bombarded with all the other day in and day out stresses and anxieties and the world pressure and all of that? How have you done that when you feel overwhelmed with that?
I could have so many examples across so many areas of my life, but I'll just, especially knowing that I might be speaking to some moms here, I just want to say, like, it's an ongoing, everyday it's an ongoing struggle when I realize that motherhood really is very sanctifying. I say this a lot. I use it as a hashtag, motherhood is sanctifying. But the truth is, you know, on any given week, it doesn't matter if it's with my younger ones or older ones, in different seasons, it's been different, because when you have kids under 10, that's going to feel like a different kind of chaos than the chaos that I feel now when they're older and they have big questions and they're trying to figure out who they are and how they fit in teenage world. But regardless, there's going to be sinful attitudes that come up. And no matter what, every week you find me in a moment where I'm like about to lose my cool, or I just do. And I'm yelling across the house because the pillows aren't right. They're all over the floor. Nobody's put away their laundry. And the table, like, we cleared it off, but why is it still sticky? Right? I mean, can somebody relate to this, right? So you have some version of being like, I am trying so hard and I'm working so hard. Where are my people? Can you guys just like follow through? Like some version of being really upset and thinking that your entire happiness is wrapped around whether the house can get clean and people can actually do what they say they're going to do and not talk back while they're doing it. Okay, some version of that. That's just my example. And in that moment, you start thinking, oh, you know what? I'm going to show them that I make the rules and I'm going to get this done. And if I raise my voice, everybody will take me seriously. And I'm so sick and tired of giving them so many opportunities. No more. And everybody's going to pay for this. Like some version of that. I mean, are we getting a little too honest here? I'm feeling a little vulnerable.
It's literally the conversation I had right before here. I'm like, Holden, how is this still on the counter when I say wash off the counter and there's a huge stick of syrup? Like what part do you not see of that? Yeah, no, this is every day. This is,
every day.
You're in good company, friend.
The issue is not that as moms, we should not hold our kids accountable.
Sure.
It's the anger and the sin that comes out when we're like, everybody's a loser. We're the best. Like we're the ones who do it right.
If everyone would just do what we say.
Yes. And I'm like, nobody's making me happy because nobody can read my mind and make sure that the house is picked up and it looks great or whatever. So that's the context. And in those moments, I have learned so much that that's the moment that I have to recognize God, my Father, is merciful and gracious. And he gives me so many chances. And he does not just like throw me under the bus and say, I mean, seriously, again, Ruth, again, instead, he woos me with his kindness and the grace of God is available for me over and over again. All I have to do, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end when we read in Lamentations 3. Well, that's not just a fluffy greeting on a greeting card. This is the reminder that God every day says, come to me, child, you are a mess, but my grace is sufficient for you again. Again, again. And so how does that make a difference? It makes a difference when I remember who God is. Then suddenly that makes a change in even the way I parent. Then I can say, okay, well, God says that my satisfaction and my joy is found in him, not in how clean my house is, not in how obedient my children are. Doesn't mean that I can't train them and work towards obedient attitudes or a clean home. It just means that I will never find satisfaction in those things.
That's good.
And if I don't know who God is and what he says about what he can offer me, then I'm going to keep on spinning around and around thinking that my happiness is wrapped up in how much these people in my home make me happy. Right.
Right. The reaction. My counselor yesterday, we were talking about just emotions. And one of the things she said is if you expect someone's reaction to fix your emotion, you're in a heap of trouble. Like if you expect someone to react a certain way and if they don't meet that expectation and that's the only way you think that you will fix your frustration or sadness or anger, you're going to feel like that for forever and ever and ever. And I just love that. Just, you know, we get to control our own. And I think just the thing that you said is satisfaction in Christ. And I think we lose sight of that. I do every day when you're in the throes of work and motherhood and you own a business and, you know, I have a full-time job and like this today I'm home working and also Ubering my kids to 27 things. And I'm like,
oh my goodness,
where is the gratefulness, y'all? Like where is, you know, and it's, you know, you kind of get to that place, but I love just that reminder of that God is so merciful to us and how we can be merciful, you know, to our kids too. And I think what you said also is like, I always throw in a sorry. Like when I lose my mind, it's like, I am not afraid to say that was uncalled for. I'm really sorry. And I shouldn't have acted that way. And I'm sorry for that. So anyway,
so good.
Yeah. Question for you, as you kind of are in, you have six kiddos, you own your own business. You know, you talk about feeling hurried or so preoccupied with a destination that sometimes you have missed what's right in front of you. And I think I hear this from young moms a lot of what am I even doing? Like, where am I going? What am I doing? Or even moms who maybe have kiddos who are leaving and they're, you know, figuring out who they are because their lives aren't all about kids and getting them out of the house and good humans and all those different things. Tell me a little bit of maybe when you have felt hurried or distracted trying to get to a destination. But the journey itself, you kind of forgot about.
Yeah. I treat my kids sometimes like projects. I hate to admit it, but sometimes I'm like, oh, if I could just say it right and you could do it right and I could put it on a chart and we stick it on the wall and you could check it off, we'll like nail it and we could get to something more interesting in our lives. Like, I'm like, can we just get over this thing? Like, do we need to even practice this anymore? Just be amazingly good at acquiring the skill so we can be done. And I think that somehow they're a project to finish, check off, so that I can get to something so much better. I'm like, oh, I have so many other things that I want to get to. And truth be told, yes, there's so much we can enjoy with our kids, like go on vacation without them bickering. Yes, absolutely. We're training to that end. But we're forgetting that the very process by which they learn how to die to self and live unto Christ, how the very process by which they recognize that they're being a jerk to their sibling and that they need to confess and repent and work through it, that actually is the stuff of life. That actually is what's growing them.
Oh man, so that's so good.
Somehow we're going to like get to the good stuff by skipping over all the bad stuff and being like, hey, this is the formula. Do this and don't do that. Do this and don't do that. And then we'll get there. I'm forgetting that the entirety of what, why God even has us on this journey, why doesn't he sanctify us right away? Why doesn't he make it so that it's like, okay, you take these three pills and now I'll have a really great relationship with my children. You know, no, he actually lets us walk through this process by which it's painful that we're like, oh, why am I like that? Oh, because I need the gospel. Oh, I need Jesus. And so moms, our children are not projects to just like get to the other side of.
That's good.
This is the job. The job is actually that we are showing them Christ day by day, moment by moment through this journey that we sometimes want to hurry on through, but the journey really is actually the thing that they're going to find and discover why they even want to walk with Jesus at all. Right? If we want them to love God at all, they're going to have to experience why this is a faithful God, even in the things that we'd rather skip.
That's so good. I wish you could just live in my house and then maybe you could, or you could just be in my earpiece at all times and just being like, remember this part is the good stuff. What you just said right there was so good and key, and like, we could just stop it right there because I think I feel that so deeply of, can we just get through this? But that is this, that is the thing. That's really good. That's so good. You talk, and I can only imagine with six kiddos and, you know, running a business and, you know, you're doing all of these different things that you love, and your life, I'm sure, is full in a good way, but I'm sure there are times, and I know a lot of moms right now and dads are feeling very worn and weary, whether it be because of summer, that's can be crazy because there's no school to take,
right?
Right. Trying to figure out childcare and, you know, all the different things. But I'd love to hear just maybe some really practical ways that when you've had times in your life that have just felt so weary. And sometimes when I get in these places, I have these big emotions that feel like I'll never get out of these spaces. And, you know, that is, I was also talking to my counselor about this. I was like, okay, so when I feel this, I feel like it's forever. Like this worn and weary or stress will be forever. And it just feels so hard right then, and it'll be forever, instead of what she always says is acknowledge it and let it flow. Like it can flow through. It doesn't have to just stay there, and it isn't forever. So talk about a time when you've just been worn out and how you really asked for God's strength in a practical way and he met you there.
So first of all, I'll acknowledge and say, especially because I might be talking to some moms, that I might be doing a ton of stuff right now and my life is really, really full, and God could call us all to lots and lots of things, but you may not be called to all of them in the same season. Mm-hmm. So never look at the fact that Ruth J. Simons is doing, you know, writing books and speaking and running a business and has six kiddos. Well, my kiddos are older. We're in a different season. I was not doing this in the same way 10 years ago. So I just want to throw that out there.
I love that you said that.
Nobody is listening. I don't want any mom listening in right now going, oh, she does all of that. No, I don't do all of that. And remember, my kids cook all the meals and do their own laundry. Like, we're in a different season. So first of all, worn and weary looks different for everybody in different seasons. I was worn and weary 10 years ago with a ton of littles who required a lot of discipline and training all the time. My worn and weary right now is very professional related. So when I say I'm currently, and I give an example of what it feels like right now, it's because right now the front burner, like my priority right now, is that I am building a career that I wasn't doing 10 years ago. So that's just my big disclaimer.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that so much.
I want to love your listeners well and not make anybody think that anyone could do everything all at the same time. But, you know, Christy, I just want to say that there's different kinds of weariness. And sometimes weariness is because we haven't learned to rest in a rhythmic kind of way. And so one quick practical thing is to say, hey, if you use your brain all day long, then maybe you need to go do something physical as a way of rest and resetting. If you are constantly working with your hands, you might need to go and like read a book and use your mind as a way of resting and resetting. So sometimes it might be that you're doing one action so much that there's no checking out or resting. And rest isn't necessarily Netflix. It's not like checking out in that sense. It might mean that you need to be deliberate about using a different muscle. So for me, it's that I have my head down looking at my laptop or some digital device in my phone for Instagram, or I'm creating and it's like output. Ruth is doing so much output. I'm creating content. I'm creating so much that I literally need to go with my boys into the mountains, put on my hiking boots and do something that's completely not, you know, connected to Wi-Fi and using another part of my body. So that's a very real way that I have to reset when I'm really worn and I'm feeling like, oh my goodness, the way you described it, that feeling of like, is this going to be forever that I feel behind or tired or kind of like, oh, I don't really want to do this. Those feelings must be addressed with like, hey, is it because I haven't learned to rest? Like, am I not scheduling in a different part of my body or my mind or my emotions to like put into action? Okay. So that's one thing. And another thing is to ultimately, maybe even ask yourself if you are carrying more, than you ought, as in like, really like two things of assessment. One is like truly assessing, is it because you really haven't embraced your limitations and you actually need to say no to a bunch of stuff? So, I mean, I really do think that weariness a lot of times is because, you know, we have to like look at our core issue. Is our core issue people pleasing? Is our core issue approval seeking? Is our core issue that we're like, we don't know how to say no? And so I did a podcast season on embrace your limitations because I was really struggling with that and saying like, am I okay with saying in this season, this is my limitation and I got to know what things I say yes to, so I know what to say no to. But then on the other side of it is also a spiritual element. I think, are you carrying things that are meant for Jesus to carry? And I think a lot of our weariness is because we're literally thinking that perhaps God's not pleased with us until we clean ourselves up and we get back on our Bible reading plan right on track before we can come to him and talk to him. Well, that's going to be a kind of weariness and discouragement that makes you feel beat down in a way that it's hard to even talk to somebody else about because you're like internally condemning yourself. That was never meant for you to carry. You're free in Christ to come and say, I'm not ever going to get it just right, but thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and for making the welcome into your presence not dependent on how good of a Christian I really am. So those are the spiritual and the physical aspects of considering what your limitations are. Like, you're not meant to be perfect. You're also not meant to do everything. So I always go back to those two things whenever I feel like, I mean, I also, truth be told, sometimes go, am I totally out of whack and I need to like get my hormones checked? Like, sometimes there's that. Reality is, when I look at how tired I am, how discouraged I am, when I want to give up, I always go to those two things. What weekly rhythms do I not have in place? Am I on my phone a ton rather than setting my phone down and then going doing something creative or physical? Like, where are my rhythms? And then number two, am I carrying things that I shouldn't be carrying?
That's so good. I can list about 10 of those things that I might be carrying that I shouldn't be carrying for sure. Well, I feel like you have given us so much wisdom, and it's almost like I want to go back through here and listen to it and pick out all the points, because this just spoke to me so very much, and I know it's going to speak to our listeners too. Tell us a little bit, just, you know, I love all of your books. So people who might not have your books before might not realize that they're also so beautiful. And so it's not just your reading words. You also have these beautiful pictures that you do and that you draw and that you cut, you know, paint. Tell us a little bit in this book, Pilgrim, what we can expect from the different chapters.
I'm grateful that I get to do, you know, trade books that are not primarily about the art. And that one is When Striving Ceased, and that came out a while ago. So if anybody wants to hear my story about grace, that's that. But the one we're talking about today, and I'm so honored that I get to do these beautiful books that you can leave on the coffee table and kind of just leave out as reminders and maybe even be a conversation starter for a non-believer in your home. But in Pilgrim, you will find landscape paintings and florals, like, you know, you've seen in my art potentially through Grace Laced or through other books. But one of the things that I really wanted to do was to cause us to linger long in both the scriptures, but also hymn lyrics from really wonderfully old historic hymns that teach us about God's character. That, listen, we live in 2023, and unless you're really great about listening to some modern remakes of hymns, maybe you don't know hymns real well. And the goal is not, my goal is not necessarily to make you a hymn singer or a hymn reciter.
My dad will be so excited.
I love hymns. But the goal is ultimately for you to recognize that others who've had hard times in their journeys as well have really cried out to the Lord in ways that they've penned songs that we can adopt and say, okay, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That is straight out of a hymn that helps me put to words what I can't say sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like, I just feel really bummed and I don't know how to do my life. And sometimes I'm like, can I just put a pause for the next 6 months because I don't know how to do this anymore. Those are the whiny things that I say sometimes, but I sometimes need some other words that remind me that I can cry out to the Lord and say, I need you to take my life and make it something worthwhile because I can't do it for myself. And so you'll see that lettered in my brush lettering. But throughout the book, every chapter has a collection of artwork that's kind of thematic. But the goal is for us to kind of, even with color or with the subject matter, for our eyes and our minds to be taken outside of what we're looking at every single day on our cell phones and to linger long and to be like, maybe I can spend a little longer thinking about how God is better than my worries right now.
That's good. I can't wait. Your other books I've gone through and really, and that has helped me linger. I am like a driver, very ambitious, go, 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 go. And so what I found out about 10 years ago is that the contemplative way is very hard for me, but actually the thing that speaks to me the most, because it's really easy for me to be demonstrative or, you know, like that's very easy for me. The sitting still, the lingering, the actually taking a word and really thinking about it, that is really hard for me, but is the most impactful. And so other books of yours that have the artwork and have the lettering and have the scripture that go with it, I have just sat with and I have loved. So tell others, so you have gracelaced.com, so people can go there and see all of your prints and all of your work. But besides this book, Pilgrim, I always Love the question. What would you tell readers? You've had several books. What would you tell readers to read of your books besides the new one? What would you say? Yeah, this is the one that they should go back and read.
Oh, it's hard to pick book favorites, but I think if I'm speaking to some moms out there, I wrote Beholding and Becoming with a lot of moms in mind. It's not a motherhood book, but the subtitle is The Art of Everyday Worship. It's about everyday faithfulness. It's about what to do when we're in the mundane, and how do we worship and see God at work, and how do we behold Him amongst dirty dishes and circumstances that don't change. And so I hope that book, it's also a very beautiful book, but I hope that one would bless some moms out there. And then if anyone is listening in and they're like me and you, where we're drivers and strivers and slightly prone to perfectionism and wanting people to say, good job, you're amazing. I wrote When Striving Ceased to really get to the heart of why God's grace in the gospel message isn't boring, and it's not for VBS only. It's actually transformative. And it's the very reason why we can stop striving and working so hard to make sure that we're amazing. We can let that go.
And that's the freedom that I have found in that. When I kind of had my come to Jesus, Jesus was like, hey, you got to just be satisfied in me, not the dreams, not the doing, not even the doing for me. When you're satisfied in me and me alone, then you can dream again. But until you're there, nothing else is going to satisfy you. Till you can have open hands and be completely surrendered. And that freed me from so many things. And now I get to do what I really love to do. And I'm in a sweet spot. And I think it's because I let some things go. So you are so full of wisdom. You're such a joy. So I just appreciate so much. I feel like we just talked, and I know all of our listeners are going to hear all the things and get so much out of it. But I personally just got so much out of it. And I just really appreciate you sharing your time with us today.
I'm so grateful to do so. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I hope that you loved this interview as much as I did. I wanted to go back and to just highlight some of the things that she talked about, and so many things that were just aha moments for me. One of the things that I really just loved is when she said, you know, are you carrying something that God should be carrying for you? And I'm sure all of us have so many of those things that are our worries or anxieties, and we should be letting God carry that for us. So I want you to think about that this week, kind of your BeLove quick tip. Just think about the things that maybe are hindering or stressing or burdening you. What are some of those things that we should be turning over to God? I also encourage you to get her book called Pilgrim. You are going to love it. You can pre-order right now. It comes out in September, but pre-orders are a really big deal. And also make sure you just go to gracelace.com. She has so many beautiful products, scriptures, verses that you can hang up, beautiful books that I love to read, but also put on my coffee table. Like I have one on there right now, and it's opened up to just a beautiful scripture and her art. So thanks so much for joining us. Thank you so much for being with us every single week. Make sure that you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a week. And I would love it. It would be such an honor if you left us a review and a rating. That is a really big deal for us in the podcast world. Thanks so much for being with us, and thank you for being love and doing good in your family and community. Have a great week.